Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we're examining every single goddamn page of Awakening, Diablerie, Mexico, a scenario for Vampire the Masquerade, to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is 1992's Awakening, Diablerie, Mexico, the official PDF release from White Wolf. Today we're discussing page 3 of Awakening, Diablerie, Mexico. We're going to get some opening fiction today. It's opening fiction about a character named Peter, whom you are going to forget about before he shows up again. Like that misleading shirtless vampire picture on the cover, like the quote from The Wasteland yesterday, this page too, kind of a red herring, kind of pointing us in the wrong direction for what this book is going to be about. This page, I guess, has a little more responsibility because it's the first piece of like actual writing original to this book to convey to us what this book is about. And the author chose to center it on a character we very well may never meet in the story, but it's what we've got. So let me just tell you about this opening fiction. Quote, Peter lowered the limp body of his drained vessel to the pavement of the noisome alley. He licked the last traces of blood from his lips. Yes, he could feel the thin vitae of his victim as a churning incorporated into himself. Refreshing strength flowed through his limbs until his very skin began to tingle. He raised his eyes from the crumpled body of the would-be mugger. How foolish the boy had been to choose as his intended victim a far more lethal predator, and smiled at the cloud-streaked moon hanging distended over the high rooftops of Chicago. His eye teeth, his killing teeth, were still extended and glinted evilly in the cold moonlight. Glinted evilly in the cold moonlight. Excellent creative writing here. Oh, show, don't tell. Don't say that he's an evil killer. Say his killer teeth glinted evilly in the moonlight. Just let the teeth express their personality organically. Quote, something glittered at his feet. The mugger's switchblade, with which he'd threatened to take his killer's life. How foolish the weapon had seemed to Peter. That's two how foolishes in two paragraphs. At that point, it feels like it's about you. This is a guy who's left parties early before thinking, how foolish was this party? How foolish was Dina for saying she would get a ride home with somebody else and it was cool if I left? Now I've got nothing to do the rest of the night but go home and eat some Burger King. Ah, Burger King is closed. How foolish is Burger King? Anyway, back to Peter reminiscing about the foolish boy and his foolish knife. How foolish this weapon had seemed to Peter. How easily he had brushed it aside before reaching in to shatter the youth's jaw with a single hideously strong blow. He laughed as he kicked the weapon aside. Ha ha! Take that, foolish knife. To my great shame, I actually did some math about this paragraph, because here's the thing. With one punch, Peter is supposed to have shattered this boy's jaw, right? His punch here is described as hideously strong, but we get Peter's stats later in the book, and he doesn't have potency. He doesn't have vampire super strength. So the only way for him to be extra strong is to spend blood points on it, like all vampires can do, to be hideously strong. And if you look at the kind of damage you'd have to do to punch somebody one time and shatter a jaw like they're talking about here, like there are vampires strong enough to do that, but Peter's not one of them. In order to get that strong, he would have to spend so much blood that even if he exsanguinates this foolish motherfucker, it's basically a wash. You've spent more vampire calories on killing this foolish boy than you're getting back from consuming him. This is not just morally, but on a dietary level, just a really bad choice to make. So Peter goes on to reflect about how, this blood's not so bad, even though this was a foolish, foolish boy, even though the blood is very thin. You know, I still like blood. Seems like a dumb thing for a vampire to think, but I don't begrudge him this. I think we've all had the experience, like if you go out and do like a lot of hard, you know, yard work, or you got to go like move some shit around, and then you come inside, grab some water, you're standing around with other people who are out there sweating with you. Somebody is bound to say, you know, water's really good. Yeah, it is. I read somewhere we all need it to live. Peter goes on to think about his recent history, as you do after you kill a foolish boy. It takes a minute to reflect. And so we just kind of hang out with him for a minute while his thought bubble glints evilly in the moonlight as he thinks about some recent evil shit that he's done. I'm not going to spoil too much, but I'll tell you that Peter is interested in a ritual. And the dumbest thing on this page is what he finally thinks about that ritual as he's kind of winding down his thinking evilly in the moonlight. Quote, and with that ritual, when Peter had obtained it, by whatever means it might take, the Diabolist would gain powers that would elevate him to near godhood. He would become the ultimate threat to the Camarilla and the ruler of all the kindred. Yes, with this ritual, he will attain power, and with that power, he will become a terror to the Camarilla, and he will become the ruler of all the kindred. The dumbest thing on this page is, in addition to forgetting to give Peter super strength, they actually forgot to give him this motivation in the book itself, in the actual story. This is the only mention of Peter wanting to conquer all of the kindred, which seems like a key, like, role-playing tip you would have for this NPC. Like, slightly stooped posture, speaks with a stutter, has difficulty keeping eye contact, is determined to become the ruler of all the kindred. Like, these are key things you would need to know to interact with the PCs in a scene. But no, Peter, this is the only hint that he has, like, a megamaniacal urge to become the ruler of all vampires, and it just is never brought up again. So what we have on this page is some opening fiction about a character who is barely in this story, reflecting evilly to himself about how smart he is for spending all his blood on one super strong punch to smack around a teenager and then get just about that much blood back from exsanguinating him, and then thinking, now at last I'll get that ritual and become ruler of all vampire kind, and then just flatline on that for the rest of the story, just kind of drop that plot thread right away. Just like we're going to drop Peter. I mean, I might mention him again, but if I ever do, I virtually guarantee you will have forgotten him by then. But we had to talk about him today because there's really no one else on this page. Not like tomorrow. Tomorrow, join me for our credits page where, for once, we do not have to talk about all the fucking people on that credits page on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the patrons-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that feed and support the show, visit patreon.com/megadumbcast. This season's theme song is Tequila Moonrise by Tequila Moonrise. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.